This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
We're not exactly famous for snow, yet every 4 years, Australians pile in front of the TV for the Winter Olympics like it's part of who we are. And as the Milano Cortina 2026 Winter Olympic Games begin, why does winter sport feel so normal, even natural to us now? Well, Associate Professor Robert Gill is from Swinburne University. Robert, welcome to Drive.
Thanks, Warren.
For a country built around beaches and heat waves, I know thousands of us go over to Japan skiing every year. Why do we connect so strongly with winter sport when the Olympics roll around?
Look, I think, first of all, really hasn't always been that way. I mean, we started going about 1936, and there was a passing interest in the Winter Olympics, and it was kind of novelty value. But then we started to actually perform quite well, and Aussies love to honour our sporting heroes. So the interest certainly picked up, probably after Stephen Bradbury and his famous 1,000-metre skate sprint title at the Olympics in 2002, where he rolled through after the five other skaters in front of him in the final all knocked each other over to take out the gold. I think that really captured our imagination. So from there on in, there's always been this kind of passing interest about what's our next medal going to be in the Winter Olympics.
Why do you think that Stephen Bradbury moment was such a cultural turning point for Australia? Is it the way that he won? Was it that?
Oh, look, up till then we hadn't had a gold medal. In fact, we'd only had a few minor medals on the podium. But I just think the way that he presented himself, they talk about doing a Bradbury nowadays is coming through and taking out the victory without actually being in contention or doing the hard work. I mean, Stephen Bradbury was a good skater. He made the final. So he was, top six in the Winter Olympics anyway, and he just happened to win the final on kind of this freakish accident that happened that knocked the other skaters over heading towards the line. So I think from there on in, it's kind of captured our imagination in terms of, all right, what's going to be our next gold? And we've had quite a few golds since then, another five since then.
We're not known for our endless snowfields. So what does it actually take for our athletes to compete with traditional, winter powerhouses who have those great mountains and those really strong winters?
Yeah, look, we're really up against it, aren't we, in terms of a good ski season will go 2 months, maybe push it out to 2.5 months. The rest of the time it's pretty rocky and even warm to hot. So our skiers and our snowboarders particularly have to go and practice and train and compete. And they compete in the World Cups and they compete in the X Games in the Northern Hemisphere, in the snowfields of the Northern Hemisphere. So they're away for a long period of each year. Some of them away from family, away from friends, away from loved ones. And they're out there training and competing. So it's a real challenge in terms of you're not spending a lot of time at home.
I've got this theory too. I mean, as a really keen skier, I mean, we go up there, we're used to skiing in two sort of types. I mean, slush or ice. That's what I reckon. And I've noticed, having gone overseas to Japan and skied, the Aussies can ski all terrain really easily, whereas some of the others I noticed tend to struggle in some of the, they like the perfect conditions and the powder, but we can just go anywhere and cope with it. Do you reckon there's a part of that too, that attitude?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Warren, in terms of the Aussies are prepared to ski in any condition and to put themselves out there in any condition, so train or perform or compete in any condition. And so when they go to different parts of the world, we actually perform quite well, really punching above our weight in terms of World Cup wins, and, you know, being world champions and also competing in the X Games. By that very fact that we seem to be able to turn it on in just about any sort of condition.
I mean, you know, I've seen us up at the snowfields here towards the end of the season, you know, basically skiing a few metres, jumping over some rocks and then continuing. I mean, you have to admit, we do push through it. But, Robert, when we hear about athletes training overseas for most of the year, what does that say about the level of commitment behind the scenes that perhaps we as the observers aren't aware of?
Look, I think a lot of people that have a keen interest in skiing, a bit like yourself, will understand the conditions in Australia and how they're not ideal for training to be in the top world performers in any of the snow sports. So I think a lot of people understand that they're making huge sacrifices. Mm. And it kind of builds a community for them too. So they travel around to different events together. They're catching up with each other. They become a bit of a family themselves. And you can see that lifts them when they are performing and competing. You'll see that those that might be actually in competition with one of the other snowboarders or one of the other skiers will really holler and cheer them on when they do something fantastic or land a really good jump. But, you know, they're actually in competition with them, but they just want to see them perform well. And, you know, when you look at it and you watch the Winter Olympics too, you see that there's people from other countries that do the same. So it's really about the sport itself, and they want to see good things in the sport, and they're really keen to see other people perform well because possibly that gives them a lift too.
Do you reckon that friendship and sort of, even though you're competing with your mates, you still want them to win, do you think that's something that perhaps has been lost in some of the bigger competitions, like, you know, the Summer Olympics?
Oh, for sure. Look, the professionalism that goes into the Summer Olympics, that's not to say that the Winter Olympics are not professionals, mm. but like I said, it's a smaller cohort of competitors. They're more of a family. And it's kind of like this chilled out culture, this kind of cool culture that they're into. Reminds me a little bit of the surfing world tour, and, you know, that kind of appreciating each other as different athletes and having different skills and spending a lot of time together and hanging out together. I think that makes the snow competitors a one big family, and, you know, most of them probably understand the trials and tribulations that the other competitors have had to go through, the injuries, the heartbreak, the hurt, mm. the pain, you know, the bruises, all those types of things. Whereas if you look at something like the Summer Olympics, I mean, these guys are on big bucks, some of them, huge bucks, and it's a job to them rather than a passion. And, you know, some of them, you know, could be athletes in many different fields. They choose this particular field because it's something that they may be able to make a pretty good income out of, as opposed to those in the ski fields and the snow fields who are, you know, who are there because they really love what they do.
We're chatting with Associate Professor Robert Gill from Swinburne Uni about why Aussies are so invested in the Winter Olympics. Robert, with Australia sending one of its largest teams ever to Milano Cortina, what should we be watching out for, do you reckon?
As in good performances?
Yeah, good performances.
Yeah. Look, it's really hard to tell who's going to come away with a medal. I would see from what I know of the sport, there's a little bit of luck that's involved in actually taking out the gold medal. But that's not to say that form doesn't precede good performances. It certainly does. And we've had some really good step-ups in the World Cups. You know, like if we think of, well, I think tonight we've got Laura Peel and Danielle Scott that have both had some success on the World Cup recently. And we've got to look at Tess Cody, who is already a medalist, still very young, but already a medalist, and she'll be doing her stuff with the snowboarding. Chikara Anthony, she's the reigning gold medalist in the moguls, so downhill, so she's certainly one to keep an eye on. And, you can't go past Scotty James. You know, fifth Olympics. He's got a bronze and a silver. We're hoping he can take out the gold this time around. You probably think this might be his last Olympics, but you never know.
It's fantastic. I'm looking forward to watching. I've got to admit, I love the moguls. I think they're amazing to be able to ski those bumps. Most of us get to the top of them and go, you know what, I'll go round. But looking forward to that. Robert, thank you so much for chatting with us. Really appreciate it.
No worries, Warren.
Thank you.
Enjoy your viewing.
Thank you. It's Associate Professor Robert Gill from Swinburne University of Technology. And
thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.